Now we have to get to something that is a little bit more serious, a little bit more meaty, and that is this idea of the Congress of the United States working with the president to quote-unquote avert the fiscal cliff that faces this country. And it's a complex issue because part of its marketing, part of its politics, part of its fiscal policy, and part of it is the future of the country. And we're going to be joined by a person who knows a little bit about a lot of these pieces, and that's Brian Kilb. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Landis & Company. Brian, welcome to the program.
Ted, how are you doing today?
I couldn't be better. Thanks for asking.
That was going to be my answer.
Yeah. Well, very good. I wanted to just touch base, first of all, for those that are not following along, kind of walk through the dramatic aspects of what this fiscal cliff is and kind of what needs to be averted. Otherwise, you know, between the Mayan calendar and the fiscal cliff, we might not be here, according to some people, on January 1st.
Yeah, we got to get through December 21st first, right, to
right.
get to the fiscal cliff. But on December 31st, Ted, you're going to have a combination of tax increases and spending cuts. It's going to add up to well over $600 billion. And the potential drag on what already is a fragile economy is something that may be worrisome in the months ahead.
Okay, so when you're talking about this, this is something that Congress can choose to act on now, or it can be something that they could choose to defer. Wouldn't they be better served if they waited and acted on this when the next Congress was actually seated, so that the people that were elected based on these issues somehow had some voice in the decision? Do you think this is really going to get done by Christmas, as a lot of people are arguing? Or do you think that some are saying that this is going to get pushed off as far back as maybe February?
Well, let's kind of work backwards a little bit. So, you know, there's a short-term issue and a long-term issue. The long-term issue, of course, we've talked about it enough. Everybody is talking about the impact of the long-term deficit and our trouble with debt, our burden with debt. Where's it going? The trajectory of our inability to rein in spending over revenues that the government takes in. That's a real problem. It's going to be a big issue down the road if we don't do something. In the meantime, December 31st, you know, historically, you go back when we raised the debt ceiling a few months back. We agreed that if we didn't address this problem before the end of this year, that these things, which we are now calling the fiscal cliff, will come to fruition, and therefore really kind of held a gun to our heads to make sure that we did something by the end of the year. Now, the pragmatic reality of that, Ted, is, okay, so we're all going to get a little bit less in our paychecks. We all may have to pay a little bit more for certain things. But the real burden on the economy doesn't just happen January 1st, right? It takes us a few weeks to feel it, and then it takes us a few weeks to feel worse, and a couple of months to really decide to spend less. And so there isn't really something of significance that's going to happen the first day of the new year. It's going to take a few months to really weigh on the economy. So they have some time to work something out, but they don't have a lot of time, and I think the longer that we remain in an uncertain position, the more cynical we get, the more corporate business spends less, the more we as individuals spend less, retail spending goes down. I mean, there is a cumulative psychological impact to this, which gets harder and harder to turn around unless we do something.
Right. Now, you know, you and I talked about this earlier. Earlier today when we were just getting ready for the program,
mm-hmm.
I take a look at fundamentals, and fundamentals, whether it's durable goods orders, whether it's balance sheets of companies, seem to me that we've got kind of a mixed bag of nuts. What's your take on the fundamentals of the economy and whether or not the fundamentals are going to help us kind of weather the intransigence that you're going to see in Washington?
Okay. Ted, what people should be paying attention to is exactly what you're talking about, the fundamentals of the economy and the fundamentals of the market, okay? So when you look at the fundamentals of the economy, our growth last quarter was 2%. I think anybody would agree for the most part that housing is moving in the right direction. That's adding to the economy right now. It's no longer detracting from the economy. Unemployment, while making modest gains, is making consistent gains. You're seeing great car sales. Now, there's a number of different things from an economic standpoint that would suggest that we're heading in the right direction, okay? When you look at the markets, what do we care about? We care about interest rates and earnings. Corporate earnings at an all-time high. Interest rates are in the neighborhood of an all-time low. valuations in stocks, or perhaps 20 to 30% discounted to their historical relative values, depending on how you look at things. So if you take out the emotions of the fiscal cliff and you just looked at things for what they were, you know, you'd have to feel pretty good about the progress we've made. The Vanguard Total Stock Market Index up 14% this year. You know, not been a bad year so far, Ted. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we get caught up in the emotions of this day-to-day political battle, because it detracts from the bigger picture, which I think is a much more optimistic picture.
Yeah, I hope so. And you know, what people think about when they think about the country is they think about political leadership, economic leadership, and they want to know whether or not they can literally spend any money. America's economy is built on capital spending, things like that. I talk to small business people every day, and small business people are worried, and they're worried about whether or not the government's going to get it right, and whether or not if they make an investment, that investment can pay off. What would you say to small business owners that are sitting on cash right now?
Well, I think, again, it's the uncertainty that hurts people, right? I think if you take a step back and look at the context of the negotiations that are going on right now as it relates to the deficit in the short run, the fiscal cliff, I think some context is appropriate. If we were to pick something like top marginal tax rates, Ted, yep, we're at 35% now. If the fiscal cliff comes and goes, they're going to go back to previous levels, which were 39.6. Now, for sake of debate, the impact of the difference between 35 and 39.6 really isn't a significant an issue. For instance, France right now has proposed a 70% marginal tax rate.
That's because they're French.
Well, that's because they're French. When Calvin Coolidge was in office, our top rate was in excess of 70%. Now, if you want to debate the economic significance of going from 35 to 70, then we're going to need to spend some time. But quite frankly, if to get the deal done, we need to move from 35 to 39, you know, sign me up for that, because quite frankly, as all good negotiations come to pass, both sides need to be angry at the end of the day, right?
Yep.
We're all going to have to give a little bit of something. And as far as small business is concerned, you know, there has been lots of talk on both sides about reducing corporate tax rates. I think that would be beneficial for corporate business. As you know, our tax rates are just not competitive worldwide anymore.
No, they're not.
You know, so I think, again, stripping through what's going on, it's much more important that we get a deal done. I think the context of the deal, we're within shouting distance of each other. Let's get this thing done. Let's put some certainty back into our decision-making process and get on with it. And I think we're going to be moving in a pretty positive direction if we're able to do that.
Well, let's do it, because I think America's tired right now. I think that the entire country, you know, people that are working, you know, two and three jobs, people that are unemployed, I mean, pricing in the Obamacare, the cost of Obamacare over time is going to be something that hurts. So I think the American people are tired, and they want to be able to take a deep breath. They don't want to be in a position where they're constantly figuring out whether or not they're going to be able to make the choice of whether do you pay your mortgage or do you pay the tuition bill or whatever. They want to have a little bit more certainty themselves. So,
well, and you know, Ted, I mean, to what you said, I mean, you think about the last 3 years. People often say to me when you know they're expressing their concerns about these issues is, well, we really haven't done anything in 3 years. But, you know, there's been a lot of conversation in 3 years. There's been a lot of discourse. There's been a lot of arguing. Fiscal Commission came out with a plan. You know, Erskine Bowles came out with a plan. I mean, there's been any number of plans, and the vetting of those plans is a process that needs to take place. And I think it's gotten us to this point now where reasonable minds have an opportunity to strike a deal. And you aren't going to see, I don't think, a huge grand plan that solves all our problems in the next couple of months. But I think what you want to see is a significant step forward, and I'm hopeful that that happens, you know?
Right. Well, let's be hopeful. Now, here's another thing we need. We need to focus on is something really important, and that is, Brian, you have to understand, everybody, as compensation for coming on the show today, we decided that Brian would get to talk about Notre Dame football for a minute. Now, we're talking about a major Notre Dame fan. Give me your prediction first on what happens this weekend with Alabama and with Georgia. Who wins that game? And then give me a prediction about Notre Dame and that winner of that game.
Well, I think it's Alabama and Notre Dame for the national championship. I just don't think our offense is quite there yet, Ted, so I think we lose a close one. But we're still going to keep our number one graduation rate, first team ever to be number one in football and in the graduation rate, and I'm pretty proud of that. So just fun to be back in the mix, And I'm hoping my boys play well.
Yeah, your boys will play well. That defense is world class. Don't give up on that defense. I say Notre Dame wins the national championship. Final score 9-7.
It's a hockey score.
Yeah, it's going to be 7-4.
Right?
7-4.
7-4. I think we're going to write that down, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your day, Brian Kilb. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Dad, my pleasure.
All right, sir. That was Brian Kilb. He's the chief operating officer, Landis & Company.